From the studios of Ave Maria Radio in Ann Arbor, this is Veterans Radio. And now, here's your host, Dale Thronberry.
And good morning, America, and welcome to Veterans Radio. My name is Dale Thronberry, and I will be your host today on the program, and I'm really excited. This is our opportunity to sound off, folks. We want you to let us know what's bothering you. And so give us a call here on Veterans Radio today at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. Got to give you a couple of quick updates right now. Our partner, Vance McCrum, the dog man, is still at the University of Toledo Hospital, but he's doing much better, and hopefully he will be transferred up here to Ann Arbor to a rehab facility, and everybody can get to finally visit him. And word is that he's doing much better. His sense of humor is back. He's giving everybody a hard time, so we're really great, really happy that he's able to do that, and we're looking forward to having Vance back as soon as possible. Today's program, as I mentioned, is a sound-off, and we want to know what you think about what's going on in the world. We've got some guests on that are going to talk to us about, drones, medals for drone pilots, the sequester, the VA are always our favorite target. And anything else that might be bothering you, please feel free to give us a call at 877-573-7825. But first of all, we're going to talk about an organization here in Michigan that we're really excited to talk to and to have on our program, and that is the Fallen and Wounded Warriors Fund here in Michigan. And joining me on the line right now is, I believe, your director, Lynn Phillips. Lynn, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. And how are you doing this morning?
I'm great. I'm glad to have the opportunity to get the word out about the Fallen and Wounded Soldiers Fund here in Michigan.
Well, okay. So tell me exactly what that is.
Well, we are an all-volunteer group of private citizens, and we have been raising money for our OEF and OIF vets since 2005. And the primary function of the Fallen and Wounded Soldiers Fund is to bridge the financial gap between the time a service member is injured and their receipt of VA benefits.
And that could take a while these days.
Well, that's the big problem. It's sometimes upwards of a year. And currently, Michigan has over 131,000 veterans from the Afghanistan and Iraq conflicts, 40,000 of whom are waiting for their claims to be processed.
Well, I think this sounds like a great organization. Actually, some of the information that you sent me earlier today was I didn't realize there were that many veterans in Michigan.
Yes, we have the 11th largest population in the country, 703,000.
That's a pretty good market that we're trying to get to, isn't it?
Yes, yes.
We need to get them to help you out. All right, so it's an all-volunteer group. How much have you distributed over since you started up?
We have distributed over $1 million directly to Michigan veterans.
Wow. That's great. And so the idea of the Fallen and Wounded Soldiers Fund is to bridge that gap between the application for VA benefits until they actually receive them. What else do you do for the Michigan veterans?
Well, depending on the type and level of need, we assist with housing, transportation costs, food, utilities. We have a lot of veterans who have issues paying the rent or the mortgage and are looking at evictions and foreclosures. We have vets who are unable to buy enough food to eat to prevent damage to their stomachs because of all the medication that they're taking. Some of our vets take upwards of 10, a dozen medications.
Yeah, that's true. You know, sometimes it... Never mind. I'm trying to keep my political opinions out of this. Never mind.
Yes, yeah, we are very nonpartisan.
Right, yes, I know. We try to do the same thing. Sometimes it just gets a little frustrating. But you've got a big event coming up, don't you?
Yes, tonight at the Suburban Collection Showplace in Novi, we have our annual dinner auction. Our keynote speaker will be Don Mann. We are expecting over 900 attendees, and that's typical for our events. We have a large support base that we're very grateful to.
I would say, and for those of you out there, we're talking with Lynn Phillips of the Fallen and Wounded Soldiers Fund, which is, I mean, I know that you're concentrated on Michigan, but is this a national thing, or are there other organizations like yours out there in different states?
Not that I'm aware of. The only other groups I know of would be USACares.org. Of course, Marines have Semper Fi, but I don't know of local volunteer-based groups like ours. I think we are unique in that regard.
Okay, so if I want to donate some money to the Fallen and Wounded Soldiers Fund, where would I go?
You can go to the website, fwsf.org.
And what will we find there?
You will find information on current events. You will find information on past events, fundraisers that people are doing on our behalf. You'll find stories about some of the vets that we have assisted. And then there's a section where vets can go to request assistance. It's just a little drop-down area.
Okay, so this is a very user-friendly website.
Oh, yeah.
I noticed when I was looking at it the other day. So, again, this is the Fallen and Wounded Soldiers Fund, and it's fwsf.org.
Correct.
Right? And you are a 501c3 nonprofit
yes.
organization that will be more than happy to take contributions.
Yes.
And, you know, you're doing a great thing. Our partner, Gary Lilly, would always say, you know, what have you done for a veteran today? And this is another opportunity for all of you out there in our listening area to help out some local veterans, especially in the Michigan area. But you can go around and find these organizations in your state, wherever you happen to be, to help out. And they do need help. You know, most veterans, unfortunately, do not ask for the help that they deserve. And we've got to convince them that it's okay to go and say, you know, can you give me a little break for a while? Oh, I had a question for you. Do they have to pay back these funds?
Oh, no. No.
Okay.
Well, sometimes they offer, and mm-hmm. we will just comment, well, you know, if you get to the point where you're able to, you know, pay it forward, help a vet. But no, we never require that they pay the money back.
Lynn, do you have any idea of how many veterans you've been able to help?
Well, in the past year alone, it's about 115.
Okay.
And that's been in, with donations of $205,000.
Wow, that's good. That's, well, it's, you know, that's a some good amount. We just need more.
Yes. Yeah.
We always need more. We got to make sure we take care of these men and women when they come back. And I want to remind everybody that not one penny goes to the cost of the administration of this Fallen and Wounded Soldiers Fund. Everybody is a volunteer, correct?
Correct, yes. We work out of our homes using our own computers, our cell phones. We don't rent office space.
And you don't charge the charity any money?
No.
For your time or anything? I think that's terrific. And this is really, you know, a great opportunity for the folks here in Michigan especially, but around the country and around the world, to help the Fallen and Wounded Soldiers Fund. That's at fwsf.org. And please do that. How is your dinner tonight? Is it sold out, or are there tickets available?
Well, there may be a few left. I believe it's probably sold out, only because we had to turn in all our numbers, you know, earlier this past week.
Mm-hmm. Well, if somebody wanted to crash the party, where was that again?
It's at the Suburban Collection Showplace, which is on 46100 Grand River Avenue, and that's Novi.
Okay. So make sure you do that. Is there a number that they can call, Lynn, to get some information on the Fallen and Wounded Soldiers Fund?
Well, they can speak to me. I'm always happy to speak directly to anyone who has questions.
Okay. And your number is?
734-904-6645.
Okay. Could you repeat that one more time?
Yes. It's 734-904-6645.
All right, Lynn. Well, thank you very, very much for being on Veterans Radio, and I hope you have a very successful dinner tonight. And folks, don't forget, Fallen and Wounded Soldiers Fund. Help them out.
Great. Thank you for your time.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. We're going to be back in just a moment with Michael Hoffman, managing editor of Military.com, and we want to hear from you at 877-573-7825. Shout out. What's bothering you? What's going on in the world that you just can't stand anymore and that you are going to let people know about? That's what you're going to do right here on Veterans Radio. We'll be right back.
You have honorably served the United States and the Marine Corps in times of peace and war. Now we would like to serve you. The Marine Scholars Program covers the total cost of attending Ave Maria University. By combining resources from the Ave Maria University Marine Scholars Funding, federal financial aid entitlements, and the GI Bill. The benefits are granted for the duration of the recipient's study at Ave Maria University, contingent upon good conduct and good academic standing. The Marine Scholars Program is open to all reserve and active component Marines and other combat veterans of Operation Enduring Freedom and Operation Iraqi Freedom who have honorably served our country. Please visit us online at www.avemaria.edu or call the Assistant Director of Admissions at 239-280-2552. You helped us. Now let us help you. Semper Fi.
Live, 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 right, live. Lord, I love my liberty.
Lord, I love my liberty.
But I know freedom don't come free.
But I know freedom don't come free.
Wrong is wrong and right is right.
Wrong is wrong and right is right.
Sometimes, son, you gotta fight to fight.
Sometimes, son, you gotta fight to fight.
The sound of
1, 2.
Sound of
3, 4.
United we stand.
1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2. Let's roll!
Hey, Al-Qaeda, listen up.
Hey, Al-Qaeda, listen up.
You never should have messed with us.
And we're back on Veterans Radio.
Messed with us.
Talking with all of you about Sound Off. Let's see what's going on. What's bothering you? Give us a call here at 877-573-7825. And right now, joining us on the line is Michael Hoffman, Managing Editor of Military.com. Mike, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here this morning.
It's a pleasure to have you on here. And the reason that I asked Mike to come on the program this morning is to talk about some of these issues that are going on out there, especially with this sequester. How do you see this sequester as affecting active military or veterans?
Well, I think it's a question that a lot of people within the military are even trying to figure out. I think for a while now, the military had expected that sequestration. They were told by Congress that, heck, this isn't going to happen. Well, the deadline came and went, and now the military, in a lot of ways, is trying to scramble to figure out and plan for it. Right now, they're still waiting to see exactly, even the details for sequestration. I think there's been a lot of talk about the 9 to 10% cut across all programs, and that's still a reality. But in a lot of ways, they're trying to figure out exactly what are the near-term consequences of that, and what are the long-term consequences. A lot of leaders in the military are mostly worried right now about the amount of the budget that they're going to need to cut for the first year of the sequestration, which goes out for 10 years. For instance, for the first year, the military is going to need to cut $46 billion from their budget, and that's what a lot of people are reading about when it comes to the civilian furloughs, some of the issues with removing or suspending tuition assistance for some programs for active duty. And these are, for the next month, it seems like the military is already going to try to get a grasp on what are the specific near-term type of consequences. Another one of those being the commissaries closing every Wednesday, which looks like
what?
It's going to be the commissaries closing for active duty troops every Wednesday on basis.
You're kidding.
These are some of the that's one of the consequences that they've already decided, and that's based mostly on the furlough that they've decided to institute for all civilians who work within the Defense Department. So because of that, they just don't have the amount of people to keep the commissaries open. So instead of spreading those furloughs out for everybody that, say, work in the commissaries, it's going to be they're just going to close on Wednesday, and that's when the civilians working in the commissaries will have to take their furlough.
Okay. Well, that's just imagine for our audience out there. That's like your local supermarket being closed every Wednesday.
Yeah.
So make sure you do your shopping earlier in the week or late in the week. Don't
exactly.
don't be stopping off to pick up something on the way home.
Absolutely.
We're talking with Michael Hoffman here, the managing editor of Military.com. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, what's bothering you, 877-573-7825. Mike, I also wanted to ask you about there was a whole bunch of stuff in the flowing around the atmosphere and the internet over this newest medal that they want to award to drone pilots.
Yeah, correct. Just for your audience, it's a medal that was one of the last actions that former Secretary of Defense Leon Panetta took in introducing this medal. It's a medal that's specific, seemingly, to drone pilots. It doesn't say drone specifically, but when they sort of outline what's needed to earn the medal, the language is such that it makes it sound like it was written for pilots or even those collecting intelligence that was connected. And this is something that Leon Panetta was talking about for a while, saying, you know, warfare has changed, and we need to make sure there's a medal out there that acknowledges that. Well, a lot of people within the military, some veteran groups, have taken issue with that because the precedence of the medal, the ranking of the medal, is above that of the Bronze Star with valor.
Which is difficult to get.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's a lot of people that have a hard time understanding why a medal could be earned from somebody who's piloting a drone sitting in, say, Nevada or Florida, could have a ranking that's higher than somebody who's, you know, committed, you know, acts of bravery and gallantry on the battlefield. So the most late-breaking news in regards to the medal is brand new Defense Secretary Hagel. He submitted a letter to the VFW and came out with a statement saying that he's reviewed the way that the new medal was put in place, and he has no intention of lowering that ranking below the Bronze Star. Essentially, he's saying, you know, I support Defense Secretary
and
the stance there.
Well, it's hard to get mad at people, you know, that obviously have earned some sort of recognition for the work that they're doing. I mean, it's really important things that these people are doing. It's just a matter of ranking it higher than somebody who's actually put themselves out in harm's way and has a possibility of getting shot.
That really seems like the issue. It seems like the issue in terms of these veterans groups don't want to stand against these Air Force member, these airmen, these soldiers, and those who are operating these drones and UAVs. But at the same time, the issue really is, with trying to distinguish the level of bravery that goes along with being in a battlefield, whether it be watching, bullets fly by your head,
right,
or sitting back again, like I said, back in the crowd, flying a drone.
Well, it's a different world out there, but I think we all understand that. But I don't know. It was something that kind of got in my craw when I was reading about it, and just said, well, okay.
Hold on a second.
Yeah, give them a medal. That's fine, but
it's
a little bit different than some of the people that I know that have earned Bronze Stars with V's for Valor, or even, above some of the other ones. I mean, I think it's above an air, the Air Medal with V device, and some of the other medals that are even Purple Heart. It seemed like.
I really don't think, even though Chuck Hagel has come out and said that he doesn't plan on changing, the battle over that, the ranking of the medal, is far from over, because Congress has stepped in, and members of Congress, such as Senator Toomey, Representative Wilson, they've all stepped in and started to work on legislation ordering the Pentagon to reduce the ranking of that medal. So it's far from over. VFW Commander-in-Chief John Hamilton, he's come out and he said, I appreciate the stance from Defense Secretary Hagel, but we still intend to lobby Congress.
Yeah, we're not done with this.
It's far from the end.
and maybe it's just going to take us, whoever's going to grease that squeaky wheel the most, and just get out there and just say, hey, listen, this is really not right, and let's see if we can fix this up.
With most issues, if your listeners have an issue with that, apparently something that Congress is looking for feedback on that. So.
That's right, especially all you guys that are, that were out there, all you all you grunts, infantry, and all that other stuff that have earned the Bronze Star with V Device and so forth, contact this, you know, Chuck Hagel. I mean, he's one of you. So, you mean, let him know how you feel about that. I think that's really
true.
Important.
That's a great point, too, you make there. I mean, with Defense Secretary Hagel being one of the first enlisted individuals to serve in combat and to earn Purple Hearts himself, he would be certainly one to understand the plight here.
He would certainly hope so.
Absolutely.
Not everybody has to be political, do they? It seems like everybody has to be political all the time.
Well, you know, what it really seems like to me is that, you know, Secretary Hagel, brand new to the job, he doesn't want to step on the toes of his predecessor.
That's true.
This was obviously something that was very important to Secretary Panetta, and something that he really wanted to, you know, be part of his legacy going out. So I think that was more the issue with Secretary Hagel than anything.
Okay. Well, we're talking here with Mike Hoffman, who's a managing editor of Military.com. And, Mike, I neglected to tell people what else you have done here, and I want to make sure I do that. Your work appears in DoD Buzz, Defense Tech. Before joining Military.com, you worked as a land warfare reporter for the Defense News. You also served as a staff writer for the Army Times and Air Force Times, as well as a deputy news editor at the Marine Corps Times. Holy smokes. You're the one that's sending me all those subscription things I get in the mail now.
There you go. Not anymore.
There you go. You're in their commission in the United States Air Force, earned as an intelligence. See, you're one of the guys that could get this award.
It's funny you say that, because when I was when I was serving in the Air Force as an active duty airman, I worked for the Predators. I worked with the Predators and the Reapers for their Special Operations Command. So I guess you could have said I would have been. And it's interesting that when this drone medal was created, before this drone medal was created, in a lot of ways, there seemed like there were issues within the force as well, because a lot of members, in order to recognize some of the members who took part on those teams for some of those longer missions that led to high-value target kills, they were given bronze medals. And it wasn't as loud of a controversy as it was now, but there was even a controversy then. Well, he wasn't in the middle of the fight, so why is he receiving a bronze star? It was never an issue where they would receive a bronze star without it. I certainly understand the difference there, but there was still, you know, the murmurs, at least, that you would hear. He wasn't anywhere close to the fight, so should he be receiving a bronze star too?
And I know that they've given bronze stars in the past for service in general.
Yeah,
and you know, exemplary service and so forth, and they were very strict or, you know, reluctant to give it with the V device, and so that's kind of what, you know, sets this whole thing off, I think.
Absolutely.
Yeah, if you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call here at 877-573-7825. Come on, something out there must bother you. Let's move on next to a thing that does affect retirees quite a bit, it sounds like, and that's TRICARE.
Yeah.
And I was wondering, can you tell me what's going on with TRICARE?
Well, that's a good question, and that's something that my reporters are trying to figure out, too. And like I was saying at the beginning with sequestration, obviously sequestration, as well as the budget continuing resolution, has left a lot of uncertainty within the military and a number of programs, TRICARE being one of them. Some people believe that TRICARE is being protected by sequestration. At this time, that's not true, unless there's other legislation that comes through. But the programs that are only programs that are being protected right now, based on the president's order, is military pay. So it's exactly the paycheck that active duty reserves and National Guard receive, and as well as VA benefits. TRICARE right now does not fall under that, and much like you will see with what happened with tuition assistance over this past week. I don't know if you covered that before I came on, but tuition assistance for the Marines and the Army has been suspended for the rest of the year.
I did not cover that. Let's back up and talk about this. Many times while you're on active duty, you are allowed to go take classes, correct?
Yeah, correct.
And,
so,
How does that work? Are you reimbursed for that in most cases?
Exactly. So okay. In a lot of ways, this is a program that the military has really tried to push for, to really just increase the education for their members. So you can enroll in these different classes while you're on active duty, and the military will essentially pay you back. Well, you have to enroll in what's called a tuition assistance program.
Mm-hmm.
However, because of the budget cuts, the Marine Corps and the Army have made the decision to suspend that program and not allow any new enrollees in the tuition assistance program for the rest of the year. Now, if you've already joined the program for the year, then they'll follow through with their promise and pay back, provide that support that they've already promised. The Air Force and the Navy are still trying to figure out if they can afford it. The Navy, which is confusing because the Marine Corps falling under the Navy, there's a lot of questions out there of, well, if the Navy can afford it, why can't the Marine Corps afford it? I don't have that answer right now.
That
is a good question, I believe. But the Air Force, as well, has said, we're going to try to fund the tuition assistance program for the rest of the year. But I didn't mean to throw a curveball there for you on TRICARE. The reason I bring that up is I think that's a really good example of the military leaders having a hard time trying to figure out the specific details for sequestration and what exactly needs to be cut, what exactly needs to be delayed, or what exactly just needs to be suspended temporarily.
Well, could you explain what TRICARE is for our civilian audience?
Certainly. So TRICARE essentially is medical insurance for not only active duty, but also retirees. And it's the medical program that a lot of that troops depend upon. So this would be essentially like your insurance contacting and saying, well, you're going to have to pay a little bit more, or we might have to suspend certain parts of the program. Now, this is obviously extremely sensitive to all members of the military because not only is it for active duty, but when you retire, one of the great benefits of the retirement after retiring after 20 years is you get to benefit from TRICARE as well, which, for everyone out there paying a good deal of money for their medical insurance is obviously a great benefit to have. So there are a lot of questions of, what is the military, how is the military going to need to adapt TRICARE in order to absorb some of these sequestration cuts?
Right.
They just don't have the answer yet, frankly. It's something that we've been, as a news team, really hounding military officials for, because obviously this is very important knowledge for our readership as well. But I guess one of the near-term problems is, I'm going to go back to the civilian furlough. There's a lot of civilians that work within the medical system that troops rely upon, and the fact that, right as it stands right now, civilians across the board are going to need to take one day a week off of unpaid leave between April 1st and October 1st. And this will obviously cut into the amount of services. And many fear cause a lot of delays within the medical system. For anyone that's sat through TRICARE in those TRICARE waiting rooms or medical waiting rooms on base, the idea of an even longer wait seems a bit problematic. And being somebody who's sat through that, I can certainly sympathize with that.
Okay. We're talking with Mike Hoffman, who is a managing editor for military.com. Mike, can I ask you to hold on and come around after our next break for just a second? Okay. Thanks very much. We're going to be taking a quick break here for our Medal of Honor segment, a little advertising, and then we'll be back with Mike Hoffman. And also on the line joining us in the second half of the program is going to be Nick Swan, who's got some very interesting things about VA benefits and what we're going to do with that in the future. Give us a call here at Veterans Radio. You know the number. It's 877-573-7825. And we will be right back after these messages.
The Medal of Honor is the highest award for valor in combat given a member of the Armed Forces of the United States. There have been over 3,400 recipients of the nation's highest award. This is one of them. Chaplain Joseph O'Callaghan administered to the wounded and dying led firefighting crews, and directed the jettisoning of live ammunition from his stricken ship. Details after this.
Why do I serve in the U.S. Navy?
For freedom.
Freedom of religion.
What America stands for.
Why do I serve in the U.S. Navy? For honor.
Everybody. And watch out for everybody.
Freedom to vote.
Democracy.
Freedom to go outside and play with my kids.
I joined the Navy to serve my country.
Every freedom that we have.
The right to raise our kids in peace. My little brother. My wife. My kids. Our children's children.
The United States Navy.
It's not for ourselves alone that we serve.
O'Callaghan was serving as chaplain on board the USS Franklin when that vessel was fiercely attacked by enemy Japanese aircraft. Calmly braving the barriers of fire and twisted metal to aid his men and his ship, O'Callaghan groped his way through smoke-filled quarters to the open flight deck and into the midst of violently exploding bombs, shells, rockets, and other armament. With the ship rocked by incessant explosions, with debris and fragments raining down and fires raging in ever-increasing fury, he ministered to the wounded and dying, comforting and encouraging men of all faiths. He organized and led firefighting crews into the blazing inferno on the flight deck. He directed the jettisoning of live ammunition and the flooding of the magazine. He manned a hose to cool hot armed bombs rolling dangerously on the listing deck, continuing his efforts despite searing, suffocating smoke which forced men to fall back gasping. O'Callaghan inspired the officers and men of the Franklin to fight heroically and with profound faith in the face of almost certain death and to return their stricken ship to port. The Medal of Honor series is a production of Veterans Radio.
Welcome back to Veterans Radio. We're going to talk about one of our newest sponsors right now, and that is Naked Furniture. And Naked Furniture is on Washtenaw Avenue here in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And they have what's called a moving relinquishment going on right now. It's because they're moving. And if you get the opportunity, go to their current store at 3402 Washtenaw Avenue, right across from Arborland Mall. And Naked Furniture is unfinished wood furniture of Michigan. They've got some great stuff there, great sales going on. And I think that you'll really like what you see when you get to Naked Furniture. You know, we always think that it's unfinished furniture, but I was over there the other day, and they will furnish it for you, stain it whatever color you want it to be, and prices are reasonable. They're on sale. They're trying to clear everything out. It's a wall-to-wall sell-off, as they say, because they're moving. And actually, they're not moving that far. They're moving about a block east on Washtenaw, again, across from Arborland Mall, and we'll let you know when that new store opens. But if you'd like to get more information about Naked Furniture, go to their website, nakedfurnitureannarbor.com. That's nakedfurniture.com, annarbor.com. Real wood, affordably priced. I think that you'll be really pleased if you were to go to Naked Furniture and check out what they've got in their showrooms. You can reach them at 734-975-9080. 734-975-9080. Give them a call. Tell them that you heard about them on Veterans Radio, and I know they'll take good care of you. The VA Shuffle, that's our good friend Michael J. Martin. We want to let everybody know that he is recovering slowly but surely from his stay at the local VA hospital down in Tennessee. So, Michael J., get well soon, please. We miss talking to you on the air. I think that's kind of an appropriate song to be playing right now. Right now we're talking with Michael Hoffman of Military.com. And Michael, you were mentioning how the sequester is going to affect active duty military. Is there any effect on the VA system?
The VA system is something that we've been keeping a close eye on as well, because the president has said that he is going to do everything he can to protect VA benefits in the VA from the sequestration cut. But there's a lot of questions floating around there about secondary impacts. I mentioned right before the break talking a little bit about the problems with the medical system, with the civilian furloughs and some of the secondary effects that might come there. I guess in some ways there's a concern that if with some of those furloughs, that it could lead to longer medical lines that retirees might face as well. But
okay.
In terms of directly with a VA hospital, not so much.
Okay, we've got a caller on the line. I've got Joe Brown on the line. Joe, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. Yeah, I just wanted to make a couple comments. If I can take the conversation back just for a moment about the medal for the drone pilots. You know, I don't have a huge problem with that. I do have a problem with the order of precedence of the medal. I'm retired military. I retired in 2004. I still work for the Department of the Army, and actually, I'm in a deployable position, just returned from a deployment with the Department of the Army. But my comment is that the whole medal system, if you want to call it that, is really out of whack. And we give away medals right now, and I can only speak from an Army perspective, kind of like candy, for lack of a better term, you know, and this is just my opinion. And so the whole thing has gotten cheapened, all the medals, except for those given for valor in particular instances where we know they are deserved. But in a lot of cases, medals are simply just handed out. That's just my opinion on that. As far as the TRICARE benefits, being a retiree, I appreciate the information you're putting out on that. And because I haven't heard about any cuts coming down the line, we haven't been informed of anything. I did see an article on AKO about that Congress had tried to block some services' attempts to raise TRICARE copay rates, but that's all I've seen about that. And then the sequestration, of course, I'm one of the DA employees that will be taking a day off without pay, so... You know, I don't have a huge problem with that if that's what we got to do to for the budget cuts. I kind of wish Congress would maybe take a day off pay or, you know, see some impacts, you know, to their pay along with the cuts that we have to take. But that's all the comments I have, so thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Joe, very much. Appreciate it. Well, I have to kind of agree with Joe. I got an email the other day that somebody said that, you know, somebody wanted to pass an amendment that said, what was it, if the gross national product did not increase at a certain amount, then the Congress should take a cut just like everybody else. And I kind of agree with that, you know, and make them all have the same health care that we have, make them pay into Social Security so they don't, you know, they have the same issues that you know, the average American citizen has.
I think coming from the perspective of living in Washington, D.C., there's quite a bit of frustration because, as you can imagine, quite a few federal employees live in D.C., and a lot of them are taking this unpaid furlough not too happily. I was standing in line at the airport, and not only military members, but you know, TSA agents are all taking a day off as well, and you could hear all the grumbling going through the security lines there. And
it's
not a very popular place to be for Congress, to be in Washington, D.C. right now, to say the least.
Well, I can certainly understand that. Mike, I want to thank you so very much for being on Veterans Radio today, and I look forward to talking to you and having you on again in the future.
I would love that. So thank you for the time.
All right. Thank you very much.
Appreciate it.
All right.
Have a good day.
Joining me on the line right now. Thank you. Is Nick Swain. Nick, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Are you there?
I'm here. Are you there?
Oh, I'm here. Thank you very much.
Sorry, we're here. I'm here in a cocoon, and I'm trying to direct people without shouting over the air to disconnect phones and so forth. But
put your hand up and make that motion.
Yeah, I got to get it's an adventure today because we're doing it all ourselves. There's three of us in the control room, and I'm the only one with the headphones on right now, so they have to follow my silent commands. But anyway, I asked Nick to be on the program because he sent me some information a couple of weeks ago about the VA. And, Nick, I'll let you introduce it yourself.
I'm very excited that you had Michael Hoffman on because I sent him 10 times the same information. And is military.com a government-run?
No, it's a private corporation.
Then there's no reason why he shouldn't post this for our vets. But,
well, we'll work on that. We don't.
It's okay.
This is the first time I've gotten somebody from military.com on the program, and it's a great source of information for everybody out there, and I think that I agree. We just have to find the right person to talk to.
You're a better man than I.
Well, we'll try, Nick. So tell us, what's your beef with the VA?
Well, let's see. I'm almost 64. I was in Vietnam 69 and 70. In 2010, I started my claim to the VA for Agent Orange connectivity, ischemic heart disease, diabetes, hypertension. In this search and review, I've done extensive investigation. I subscribe to military.com, Stars and Stripes, VA, Veterans Issues at Yahoo, so-and-so. To get as much background information, because my records are not available. They cannot be found.
They can't find your health records?
There are no health records for me at all, which is not uncommon for a veteran today, especially those of us that served in Vietnam. My flight is two-part. One is the fair method of rating, which is going on and on and on across the country. We've heard horror stories about low-ball ratings being denied. I want to tell everyone, if you're denied, keep putting in an NOD, a Notice of Disagreement.
Mm-hmm.
Constantly check those ratings and make sure that they go back as high as it can go to reevaluate. PTSD is one of those that I'm also rated for, but a low ball rating, like many. But here, just as recent as February 4th of this year, there is a Madigan inquiry, which was out of the medical center in Tacoma, Washington,
mm-hmm.
where they did a review of 451 PTSD claims from veterans that were denied. Now, since then, half of those have been reversed. And Dr. Hicks was suspended for providing information for this inquiry. This has gone on and on and on every rating that any veteran could possibly have.
Well, there was a link that I guess it must have been you might have sent it to me about the idea of many of these claims being lowballed, and that we need to consistently appeal and just keep pushing. I know a long time ago when I was diagnosed with my condition for my disability, and I got back the percentage, and as soon as I told them what my percentage was, they said, oh, you got to appeal it, because that's really low for that condition. And I haven't, but it's, after talking with you, I guess I'm going to get on the stick again and start going after these folks.
Well, here's the problem. People get a rating, they get a few dollars in their pocket, and they say, okay, that's great. That's what I get, yada, yada, yada. But that's not the case. The government have told their raters to keep all the ratings below 40%. Keep them between 10 and 30, because if we go to 40% or higher, then that veteran could qualify for 100% disability. The government states that if you have one rating of 40% or higher, and you get to a 70% rating, you are qualified for 100% disability. So these raters are going to keep all of your ratings, whether they're 1 or 10, below that 30% level. And there are many, many, many cases that will substantiate this. That's part one. The rating system sucks. We know that. I don't know that we can do a whole lot about it. But we can make our senators and congressmen aware that we're aware of it, and we're tired of it, and we're not going to handle it.
Well, okay, the real issue that I wanted to talk to you about, and I'm going to take a break before we talk about this, so I'll set you up. We're talking with Nick Swan out in Kansas about the rating system at the VA and how he thinks that we should change the amounts that we're getting or that we're entitled to and that we need to keep pushing for all of these benefits. So, Nick, hold on the line. If you've got a question out there, give us a call here at Veterans Radio. It's 877-573-7825. We'll be right back after this message.
You have honorably served the United States and the Marine Corps in times of peace and war. Now we would like to serve you. The Marine Scholars Program covers the total cost of attending Ave Maria University by combining resources from the Ave Maria University Marine Scholars Funding, federal financial aid entitlements, and the GI Bill. The benefits are granted for the duration of the recipient's study at Ave Maria University, contingent upon good conduct and good academic standing. The Marine Scholars Program is open to all reserve and active component Marines and other combat veterans of Operation Enduring Freedom and Operation Iraqi Freedom who have honorably served our country. Please visit us online at www.avemaria.edu or call the Assistant Director of Admissions at 239-280-2552. You helped us. Now let us help you. Semper Fi.
The names on the wall. That's Michael J. Martin, our good friend down in Tennessee who's recovering at his local VA facility. And we're talking right now on the line. If you'd like to get in on the conversation about the VA, give us a call at 877-573-7825. We're talking with Nick Swan out in Kansas. And Nick, we're just going to talk about the level of benefits. I don't think civilians understand how much veterans receive with their service-connected disability benefits. Could you kind of explain that to our audience?
I sure can. This is really the meat of my whole contention here, is the lowballing of payments to our veterans. Currently, the VA compensation tables for a veteran and his spouse at 100% would be $2,973. If a veteran were to receive a 10% rating, the government is going to pay him $129. 10% of $2,973 is $297.30. So instead of receiving 10%, we're receiving 4.3%. Now let's go up to 90%, where the payment should be $2,675. The government is currently paying $1,830. That's 61% of 100%.
So the jump between 90 and 100 is pretty huge.
Jump between 90 and 100%, there is the 38.5% of all funds available that are on the table that will not be paid. And my question is, what is the difference between a person that is 90% disabled and a person that is 100% disabled?
Well,
I mean, the guy that gets 100% gets $1,100 more, $1,150 more than I would. So I question why they make a rating of 10 to 100% in 10% increments, but they don't pay the full percentage to our veterans.
Right. I'm just looking at the chart that you sent me here, and I think this is really fascinating, folks. And it's not like people are out there trying to grab money. I think that's really important for you to understand. A 10% disability today, married with a spouse, is $129 a month.
That's correct.
And if you get up to 90% disability, which means that it's going to be difficult for you to be working with 90%. You get $1,830, but then if the jump up to 100% disability is to $2,900, and that's almost $1,100.
$1,150.
That's a lot of money.
Well,
in today's environment, I don't think this probably stands a chance of ever working that way. But it's pretty fascinating, and I see that I think we've hit a hot spot here, Nick. Our phones have lit up here. So I'm going to let Maria take those calls, and in a minute I'll get these people up on the line. So what can we do?
What can we do as a single individual that is a veteran for fair compensation? I would suggest that these people either contact me for more information or contact their senators and congressmen and ask them why there is such a disparity between this 90 and 100%, or even why 10% is not 10% of what I should be receiving.
Mm-hmm. Where did they come up with these percentages? I mean, I know the 10% and so forth, but when did they set these rates?
Back in 2006, the Institute of Defense Analysis, which is a government agency, spent 2 years and hundreds of thousands of dollars giving a little lip service to veterans' disability compensation. And basically what they were looking for was the disparity of why one state paid more than another state. They never looked at the tables themselves. The tables have never been changed since 1945. They felt that there were sufficient funds for an individual. Let's take 100%. They thought that $31,500 was enough money for a 100% disabled person to exist. And that's their whole rationale. And this is documented information. I'm not pulling it out of my hat. There are 3.5 million veterans that are currently being paid disability. 9% are 100% disabled, and 8% are TDIU that cannot be changed.
Okay, I've got a call on a line, Nick, I want to bring on right now. And, Tom, I want to welcome you to Veterans Radio.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you very much. I've listened to it on occasion, but never really called in. But this is pretty interesting. I want to run something by you if I could. I'm a Vietnam combat veteran, 68 years old. I am 0% disability. I'm officially a disabled American veteran. However, I'm at 0%. And I never went back to get that adjusted because I understand fully that the VA, and I understand that the Congress, really doesn't care that much about American veterans. So, you know, to go through anything to get 10% or anything else from these idiots, you know, it's just more trouble than it's worth as far as I'm concerned. But one other thing I'd like to mention, it's really nice to see these young guys come back from Iraq and Afghanistan. I have a couple of nephews in the special forces over there in Afghanistan, but they come back and they're treated well, and most of it's lip service, though. I mean, from the Congress and everything, of course, because these guys really don't care about veterans, I don't think. But at any rate, based upon their actions, it's nice because to see these guys treated well. Because I remember when I came home from boot camp, I went to my old high school because I was invited there by one of the priests, and went into his room where he was teaching, and was greeted fondly by the kids and everybody, and because I had just left a year before, they knew me. And then went into another priest's room because this other priest told me, go in there and say hi to him in the class, you know. And boy, he said, get out of here in that uniform. Don't ever let me see you in that uniform. And when we came back and came back home, you know, we chucked our uniforms, and other than our close friends, we were just hated. And I remember when I flew back and landed at Clark Air Force Base from overseas and then left to go down to Treasure Island to get discharged, the people just hated us. There were crowds outside. They were throwing things. They were swearing at us. And I remember I later on became a teacher, and I remember in 1976, I never told anybody I was a Vietnam vet. The only one that knew was my principal. And one day, I don't know, it got out somehow, and next thing I knew, I came in after lunch, and all over my blackboards in my classroom, seventh and eighth grade kids had written baby killer, murderer, Vietnam, and all this horrible stuff.
I got to cut you off a little bit, Tom, on this, only because this is another program that we need to talk about. The welcome home that many people did receive, and it is nice to see the civilians anyway that are giving people the welcome home that they deserve. And we just got to keep on our congressman's case to make sure that they, you know, if George Washington's the one that said, you know, if you don't treat your veterans well, during this war, why would they volunteer for another one? So this is what we're going to do. Tom, thanks for calling in.
All right, thank you, sir.
Appreciate it very much. Well, Nick, you can see a little bit of the concern that's out there, and I know that you feel probably similar to what Tom was saying, and I do too, because I got a 0% disability rating for hearing, but they gave me free hearing aids. What is that about?
Well, once again, they'll give you 10% for tinnitus, but they don't want to give you any hearing loss rating. I was rated at the VA. I went in. I went to the audiologist. He checked my hearing. He said it's more likely than not that the combat, the 105s, 155s, 175s caused a hearing loss. I do have tinnitus, so they gave me a rating of tinnitus, but they denied the hearing.
Yeah, that's the same thing I hear. Just because I hear crickets in my head all the time.
I applied to TSA for a screener job back in 2003, and I was denied for hearing. So that is one of my appeals. The Tom that was just on here said that, you know, he wasn't being paid or compensated anything. But as a Vietnam veteran, he probably has some form of PTSD. And many veterans do not realize it, but if you ever went through a traumatic situation, you're probably going to have some form of PTSD, and over the years, as you get older, look at the mind kind of like an onion. Younger, we had all kinds of activities that kept us busy, that took our minds away from what happened. As we get older, those layers are peeled away like the skin of an onion until we get down to the core. And as we get to our older age, that PTSD surfaces a lot quicker than you expect.
Well, Nick, you know, we're coming up against the clock, unfortunate, here.
I understand.
Can you tell me, where could people get some more information from you? How would they find out where you are or where your information is?
Well, first of all, I'm Kansas City. I'm real easy to locate. I do have a phone number and an email.
Well, if you want to give out your phone number, feel free.
Sure. 913-495-9416.
I got it for you. 913-495-9416. Or as Nick remembers to sell his numbers, 913-495-9416. And Nick Swan, Kansas, will be more than happy to help you out. We really encourage any of you veterans out there that are listening to get into your local service organizations, people that can help you file your claim and that can explain your claims. And if you've been denied and you feel like you should get it, go back after them, right?
Keep in mind, I've been fighting the VA for 3 years with no help and no medical records, so I have a goodly amount of information that I'd be willing to share.
Okay. That's Nick Swan. Whereabouts in Kansas are you?
I'm in Kansas City. I'm in Overland Park, Kansas.
Okay. Is your snow finally gone?
No. We still have about 4 or 5 inches on the ground, but it's melting quickly.
Okay. Well, Nick, thank you very much for being on Veterans Radio, and thank you to all of our audience out there. We'll be talking to you again soon, Nick.
Thanks, Dale. Appreciate it.
All right. Well, that's another one in the can, as they say. We're coming up at the end of the program, and we want to make sure that you tune in next week on Veterans Radio. Bob Gould's got a program about B-29s. I think they were called the Liberators. I'm not sure. I'm not the expert on airplanes during World War II, but Bob is, and so he's going to be excited about that. A number of things coming up in the next couple of weeks. If you've got some stories or things that you want us to talk about, please let us know what you want us to talk about, and we will put your story on the air. So until next week, this is Veterans Radio, and you are dismissed. And the opinions voiced on Veterans Radio are not necessarily those of Veterans Radio or this station. Veterans Radio is a production of Veterans Radio, LLC.